Theophany the monk was traveling along a path one day and ran into a young man, and he asked the young man where he was going. And he replied, "I am looking for the pearl of great price." And Theophany said calmly, "Well, look no more. I have it." And Theophany produced the pearl of great price, and the young man was in pure delight to see and find what he was looking for. Then Theophany said, "Here, take it." And he gave the young man the pearl of great price. And the young man, as you can imagine, was delighted and danced for a while, and then decided to sit under a tree to contemplate what had just happened. "The pearl of great price, I have it. But is it better to have it or to have the ability to give it away, like Theophany did? How long will this question rob me of my joy?" God calls us to live on the edge, not with the ancient word known yet unlived, but with a living word given away and recited in the rituals of daily life. In essence, God calls us to live differently, to turn our world and the world of others upside down. Theophany turned that young man's world upside down, just like Jesus did one Saturday morning in Nazareth. Jesus, the son of a carpenter, stands up and takes the Isaiah scroll and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Everyone there listening understood these words to be the words of Isaiah. It is how that prophet from long ago defined his ministry. And when Jesus finishes reading, he hands the scroll to the attendant and sits down. Today we stand in a pulpit. In those days, they sat in the Moses seat to teach to the people. So all eyes were on Jesus, waiting for him to begin his teaching. What would he say about this great prophet Isaiah? Would he emphasize the bad news that Israel had sinned and would be taken into captivity by the Babylonians? Or would he emphasize the good news? One day God would restore his people and bring them back from captivity. It was Israel's ancient history, but it still spoke volumes. Now, here is the wonderful twist, the thing that catches everyone off guard that Saturday morning in Nazareth. Jesus does neither. He doesn't emphasize the past. He focuses on the present. He doesn't lift up Isaiah as the great role model. Jesus lifts up himself. This is the pertinent point. It is what upsets everybody at the synagogue. It's why everybody was furious with him and wanted to drive him out of town. They were going to kill him. It was that he dared to say that these great words of Isaiah were really about himself. Today, he says, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In his book, Holy Sweat, Tim Hansel tells of a great guest preacher in a rather large church who began, "There are 3 points to my sermon," and most people in the congregation yawned. They'd heard the same thing many times before. And he continued, "My first point is, at this time there are approximately 2 billion people starving to death in the world." And the reaction through the congregation was about the same, since they'd heard it many times before as well. And then he said, "My second point is, Now that got everyone's attention. It had only been 15 seconds, and he was already on his second point. He paused and then said, "My second point is that most of you don't give a damn." He paused again as gasps and rumblings flowed across the congregation. And then he said, "And my third point is that the real tragedy among many Christians today is that there are many people who are more concerned that I said damn than you are about 2 billion people starving to death." And then he sat down. The whole sermon took less than a minute. And it was, in many ways, I'm sure, very powerful to some of those listeners. For he reminded everyone that we are called not to mere piety, but to genuine morality. We are called to action, not to fancy words. Jesus preached a short sermon, but what a sermon! He clearly proclaimed the kind of ministry he came to pursue. It is to be a ministry to the poor and outcast, the captive and the oppressed, the blind and the marginalized. Jesus' message is for us as well. His plan of ministry is our plan of ministry. If we truly seek to be Christ-like, we must try to do as Jesus did. Live as he lived. Spread the good news in the way that he called us to share the good news. And we do try, often in strong, powerful ways, but often we settle for the shadows. Sending checks rather than engaging with the poor and the marginalized. I too must admit my own guilt. My ministry is more comfortable than challenging. Sure, this ministry has its challenges. Yes, I'm busy with meetings, but when, I must ask myself, was the last time I really brought good news to the poor? Perhaps only through a can dropped off for Salvation Army or a monthly donation to a good cause. Is that what Jesus is getting at? Maybe a little bit. But I can't say yes without kidding you and myself. When was the last time I proclaimed release to the captives? When did I help the blind to see? Have I freed those who are oppressed? Who is oppressed today? At best, I have tried to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, but how can I convince people of God's favor when they are poor, captive, blind, and oppressed? In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes, "Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you do. As soon as we do this, we find one of life's great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will come to love them. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking them more. And if you do them a good turn, you will find yourself disliking them less." Jesus comes to turn everything upside down and confuse everyone's expectations of how things are supposed to be. Jesus said the gospel was for the poor and the oppressed, speaking to those at the margins of society. Jesus was announcing that he came to liberate the marginalized, the impoverished, the war captives, the poor in health, the political prisoners from real oppressive structures. Jesus came to turn the economic structures upside down, instituting the year of Jubilee when crushing debts were forgiven and slaves were freed. Jesus challenges us, all of us, to a radical ministry that defies the normal moral order. Can we do it?
Charles Jeffrey gives you the power.
I pray that we will.